got a lot of listeners tuned in because we've been promoting this one quite a bit, and it's going to be a little bit controversial. Today we're asking, can going into a meditative silence help us actually hear the voice of Jesus? Well, you know, many people are attempting to hear the voice of our Savior speaking directly to them thanks to a wildly popular book franchise you've probably heard of. It's called the Jesus Calling Book, and it was written nearly a decade ago by an author who practiced a contemplative prayer method and actually heard a voice speak to her. So she wrote down everything the voice told her to and published her first book, which has now sold, over 9 million copies. It's ranked number one on the Wall Street Journal nonfiction bestseller list, and it's got a product list that includes books for women, devotionals for teens, even a children's version, a calendar, devotionals, and now a new smartphone app that's out there. Well, we've got some concerns that many people are turning to their own experiences over the real truth God promises can be found in the scriptures. With us today is Warren Smith. He's a frequent guest on Stand Up for the Truth. He's just finished writing his newest book called Another Jesus Calling, How False Christs Are Entering the Church Through Contemplative Prayer. And I have to tell you, Mike and I have read this, and it's an incredible book. It's full of information comparing what this Jesus in Jesus Calling says to the actual scriptural Jesus, our Christ, our Holy Redeemer that we have in Jesus Christ. And Warren Smith himself spent 20 years in the New Age practicing the very types of spiritual exercises put forth by contemplative prayer proponents, and he knows full well that not every experience is from God, but in fact can be from familiar seducing spirits. That said, Warren Smith, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth, my friend.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Warren, you've been writing for many years about concerns you have about the New Age movement, and of course you and your wife were hip deep in it for a long time. Are your worries being soothed these days, or are they being accelerated?
Well, let's put it this way. The New Age has grown nothing but exponentially over the last 20 years, and I think a lot of Christian leaders have kind of dropped the ball. That's 1 Corinthians 14:8. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? We're not talking about what's going on. We're not warning about the bottom line of the New Age movement, which is the attempt to give the church and the world a new world view that says that God is in everyone and everything. In other words, God is in his creation. Clearly, scripture, you know, there's many scriptures. Romans 1, Psalm 39, 5 says, God, you know, man in his best state is altogether vanity, and God is not his creation. So this is not known by most believers, that this is the attempt to give this new world view. And so it's sneaking into all sorts of books, including this book by Sarah Young, Jesus Calling.
And Warren, you have said that you have nothing against the author. Very nice person. It seems to be very sincere, as most of us are. We simply want our Savior. And so that's kind of how this begins, isn't it? We really are seeking something that we can experience, that we can hang on to. That's not always a good thing, is it?
Well, you know, in terms of the author, Sarah Young, she seems like a very nice person. You can't be any more deceived than I was when I was in the New Age, and I think some of the same dynamics are working here. I followed a Jesus Christ, the one that Oprah Winfrey pushes, the Jesus Christ of A Course in Miracles, which was reputedly much the same method, which is Jesus giving new information, messages, new revelation to a woman in New York City by the name of Helen Schuckmann. And this Jesus, his teachings, I found out, you know, as I became a believer, that they were actually the opposite of the Bible. For instance, this Jesus of A Course in Miracles, Oprah's Jesus Christ, says that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Mm. The recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. There's no sin. There's no devil. I think I'm making my point, and this is what I believe deeply. So voices that are coming in the name of Jesus are not necessarily the same Jesus that is the real Jesus Christ of the Bible. There's a New Age Jesus, and the New Age Jesus is coming into the church. Remember in Matthew 24, when Jesus was asked, what will be the sign of his return and of the end of the world? He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We have to be really careful when anyone is purporting to present words and messages and teachings from Jesus because of this very warning from Jesus himself. He was basically saying that identity theft would be the main sign of his coming. Mm-hmm. His identity was going to be stolen. So we need to look really carefully at books like Sarah Young's to make sure that what is being said is consistent with the Word of God.
You know, Warren, when you talk about another Jesus, and particularly when you quoted Shukman as the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey, it is interesting. I've been asking Christians lately, when is the last time you heard a hard-hitting sermon about sin and repentance? So, I mean, it's really kind of creeping in even to the traditional church model, this whole thing of, well, let's not worry about sin, let's just worry about Jesus. You really can't separate the two, can you?
No, and what's happening, Mike and Amy, is that spiritual experience is taking precedent over the Word of God. People want to hear a word from God rather than to know the Word of God. And that's the danger, and that's the danger of contemplative prayer. The thing that I've noticed is that most of the people, and there are many in Christian leadership that are pushing contemplative prayer, they do not warn about testing the spirits. Mm-hmm. From Richard Foster to Beth Moore to Bill Hybels, John Piper, you name it. They are not warning. They're just telling people, go recite scripture, listen and see what Jesus would tell you. And it kind of reminds me, actually, years ago in San Francisco when I lived there when I was much younger, late at night when we just couldn't eat anywhere else, there was always Jack in the Box. And you'd drive up and the machine would be there and it would say, Jack will speak to you now. And that's kind of what I'm seeing in the church right now. It's like somehow or another we're supposed to believe that by reciting scripture, going into contemplative prayer, that God is going to be just so happy with us that he's going to speak to us. And it just doesn't work that way. That's a form of manipulation. And I think that the warnings that aren't there about testing the spirits are perhaps the most dangerous thing of all.
Well, let's talk about testing the spirits and some of the ways that you've done the legwork and the comparative work in taking this book, Jesus Calling, and comparing it to Scripture. And you've got all throughout the book, I just want to let our listeners know that you've got the words that this Jesus says versus the words that the real Jesus says. And I'm seeing a huge discrepancy. In fact, some of the opposite things. Let's start with a couple of examples. For instance, there's this one word where the Jesus of Jesus Calling tells her to laugh at the future and the world's going to end in laughter, that kind of idea. What is so wrong with that compared to the Bible?
Yeah, that particular one, the Jesus of Jesus Calling, what Sarah Young is hearing from this Jesus, he says, the future is a phantom seeking to spook you. Laugh at the future. Anybody that knows their Bible, that's read Matthew 24 and other things that Jesus has said, we're not to laugh at the future. The future is no laughing matter. We're living in that future right now, and this is not something to laugh at. We're told to watch and to pray. There'd be tremendous deception. Jesus said we're not to be troubled, and that's right. You know, we're to be confident in him, but we're not to laugh at the future. That was one of the things that really jumped out at me. Another one that jumped out was on page 199 when the Jesus of Jesus Calling said, I am above all and in all. There it is. I've been on your program many times warning that this is the bottom line of the new world view, the new world religion, and the new spirituality that's coming at the world. If that can be changed, if people will accept this belief that God is in everything, then the whole new age kicks in and there's a whole new world religion that will descend. So there are many examples like this. I think one of the most distressing things about her book is that she calls a book entitled God Calling, a previous book that was written back in the 1940s by two women who listened to what Jesus would tell them, write it down, and then the book is a devotional comprised of these messages. And God Calling is actually, and what Sarah Young said was that this book, God Calling, inspired her to get her messages, and that she called this book a treasure to me. Amazingly, this book is a book that I had in my New Age books when I was in the New Age, and God Calling is actually listed in the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs published by Harvest House Christian Publishers. It is listed as a channeled New Age book. It says that it's replete with denials of biblical teaching, and they give it as an example of a channeled New Age book under the heading Impersonations and Denials of Christianity. This is the book that Sarah Young not only inspired her to get messages, but that book is now alongside Jesus Calling in Christian bookstores all around the country. And I've been amazed to see that this God Calling book, which is a little kind of flimsy paperback when I had it, is now in a beautifully done edition. Mm-hmm. And what the editors have done, they've added lines from hymns, they've added additional scriptures to try to buttress up this book. And in my book, Another Jesus Calling, the first 10 points that I make are showing how God Calling is a channeled New Age book, which, of course, this encyclopedia put out by Harvest House has already stated. So the fact that Sarah Young did not notice that this book was a channeled New Age book and that it inspired her should put some red flags out there for anybody starting to look at Jesus Calling. And then I move into 20 points, very solid points, that I challenge people that are into this book to look at carefully and to see if they really believe the differences between what the Jesus of Jesus Calling is saying and the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. And I do want to emphasize, again, Sarah Young seems like an exceptionally nice person. I think she's very sincere. I believe she's putting down what she's hearing. But I just contend that when 1 Timothy 4:1, when the Apostle Paul warned, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We need to keep that in mind when we're reading anything that's coming in the name of Jesus or anything that's coming authoritatively, supposedly from Scripture.
You know, Warren, it is so subtle, and we have to be so careful, because you hear Christians say, well, you know, I'm looking at one scripture, and then I'm emptying my mind and meditating. Now we're told in the Psalms to meditate day and night on God's Word, but I want to go to Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 5, just to tell you how we have to be careful about this. Then the devil took him, Jesus, to the holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. So we have to understand Satan knows the word of God also. And when we take a scripture and empty our minds, it really is fertile field for any spirit that wants to speak to us sometimes, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, as a matter of fact, when I was in Appleton just several months ago at the conference at Calvary Chapel, I had spoken and just briefly warned about Jesus Calling, and one of the men in the church called down the hall to me. He said, thanks for coming, Mr. Smith, thanks for coming. And I said, why so enthusiastic? He said, well, a bunch of us were doing Jesus Calling. We had just put it on Facebook. And he said, you know, Warren, he said, now we're taking it down. We realize that it's not from Jesus, and no matter how well-intentioned Sarah Young is, the book is very dangerous. But he said the thing that really got him was that there were scripture notations and references at the bottom of each page. And he said, we figured it had to be biblical. Mm. So I'm really glad, Mike, that you brought that point up, because when Jesus was contending with the devil in the wilderness and the devil saw that he was using scripture, Jesus was saying, it is written, it is written. The devil came back with scripture. And just because there's a lot of scriptures somewhere, you have to look at the context and you have to look at what it's being said and in what manner.
Mm. Warren, we've talked a lot on our program about this, this movement toward the self-esteem, that I am awesome, I can do anything, I'm incredible, I'm powerful, that kind of thing. And it's huge, especially for women. And I see this Jesus of Jesus Calling kind of doing the same thing. He's flattering us. He wants us to believe in ourselves, that kind of thing, our dreams. Tell us a little bit about that part of it.
Well, it is interesting that the Jesus of Jesus Calling does not do any specific warnings about the blasphemy that's going on in his name by people like Oprah Winfrey, The Course in Miracles, Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God. In my book, False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care?, I delineate how we have these false gods and false Jesuses being published publicly, and there is no warning in Jesus Calling about any of this. As a matter of fact, as you said, there's a lot of flattery that's going on. The thing that really kind of hit me was when the Jesus of Jesus Calling said, be willing to go out on a limb with me. If that's where I'm leading you, it's the safest place to be. And I said to myself, I really don't think Jesus Christ is going to be using the title of Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb, to encourage people to stick with him. But then it went even further when he said, you, however, have been called to take a road less traveled. Well, that was New Age author M. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled. There's a certain amount of mockery that's going on in the book. Another place in the book, The Jesus of Jesus Calling, says, take time to rest with me by the wayside.
Yeah.
Well, the wayside is where the devil hung out and took the word of God out of men's hearts. So there's a certain amount of mockery that's going on, and I don't think Sarah Young realized it when she was putting some of this stuff down in her messages. But the flattery was really apparent. Amy, I'll just name a few of the things that he said, and you tell me if this sounds like the real Jesus Christ.
Okay.
When you trustingly whisper my name, my aching ears are soothed.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk through a day in trusting dependence on me, my aching heart is soothed. Feel your face tingle as you bask in my love light. I'm aching to hold you in my everlasting arms. And just one more. When your joy in me meets my joy in you, there are fireworks of heavenly ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus in the Bible is comforting. He's supportive. He warns us about things. He's real. He's not doing solicitous type of flattery, promising you that everything's going to be okay, laugh at the future. I'm above all and in all, which is the bottom line of the New Age teaching. There's just place after place where there's contradiction, where there's just a real difference between what the real Jesus says in the Bible. The idea, I really believe, is pretty much what we had in the New Age, which is if you start to lean on this Jesus of Jesus calling, and you have a voice that's purportedly Jesus guiding you in your life, one woman that we met actually realized that she was starting to read her Bible a whole lot less, and she would go back and read Jesus Calling over and over because it gave her a good feeling.
Mm.
Those of us in the New Age knew that the devil could make you feel really good about things that aren't so good, and he could make you feel not so good about things that are good. So we have to be careful about spiritual experience. And again, we have to examine what's being said.
No doubt, Warren. And when you were talking, I was thinking of a book by Paul Washer, The Gospel and Power of Salvation, The Power of the Gospel and Salvation. And he takes to task this growing movement in Christianity. It's almost like Jesus is desperate for us. Oh, he needs you. You know, when a sinner comes home to the Lord, Jesus' heart is fulfilled. Washer makes the point, God is God, whether no one accepts him and everyone rejects him or the opposite. But this new Jesus seems to be this desperate creature that's dependent upon us instead of we being fully dependent upon him.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the book God Calling that Sarah Young said inspired her to do Jesus Calling, the Jesus of God Calling says, I need you more than you need me.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, I'm sorry, that's just not that. I mean, he's our creator. And it actually says in Acts 17:25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. He doesn't need us more than we need him. We desperately need the Lord. We need to be saved. But this false Jesus does need people, because to make himself true, he needs to have people believing that he is the true Jesus. So he does need false followers to make himself true. The idea in God Calling, this Jesus of God Calling, he said, no theology, no me.
Oh, my
there
goodness.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, we're diminishing the Word of God. We're raising up this extra-biblical, experiential Jesus that's going to guide us through the future. It's going to make everything right. And the thing that really concerns me is that the Jesus of God Calling and the Jesus of Jesus Calling says that he has new truths, new revelations, secret treasures to unfold. And this is exactly what we got in the New Age from the Jesus of A Course in Miracles and the false Jesus of the New Age. Everything we need to know, and I need to just say this, when I came out of the New Age and into the faith, it was because Johanna Michelson, in her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, talked about how she had a spirit guide named Jesus Christ. And she was convinced that this was the real Jesus. And she had accepted Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, in college, but she didn't know her Bible.
Mm.
So what happened is that she got involved with experiential New Age theology, ended up with a psychic surgeon in Mexico City doing these amazing healings, but they were not healings from God, they were healings from evil. And her sister challenged her to go to LaBrie, run by Francis and Edith Schaefer in the Swiss Alps. And when Johanna went there, she was challenged to pray and ask God if she was being deceived. And this she did. not totally reluctantly, but with some skepticism. She basically prayed, God, if I'm being deceived, I want to know, but if I'm not, I'm going back to Mexico City to continue with the psychic surgeon. God answered her prayer because it was a sincere prayer. And she realized she was deceived, and eventually she challenged and tested the Jesus Christ spirit guide that she had.
No.
And she went into her meditation laboratory, and when she went into it, she used that 1 John 4:1 test of the spirits, and she said, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And she said her laboratory exploded, and that Jesus that she had been following disappeared forever. I'm sitting on the floor of a bookstore reading this as a New Ager, because her book was in the New Age section, and I was trying to figure out some things that were going on in her life. And as I was reading about this false Jesus, and I was reading about seducing spirits and false Christ, and reading scripture for the first time, a man came off the street, a homeless mentally ill guy that I'd seen there a couple days before, came back to where I was reading the book and started screaming at me, are you going to buy that book? What are you doing with that book? And I realized in that moment that evil was real, and that evil could be orchestrated, and evil could be orchestrated to try to deflect me from reading about the truth. And the statement that I want to make is that the Bible, the Holy Bible, is absolutely dependable, trustworthy. It's the Word of God. It's 2,000 years old, but it reads like better than the morning paper, especially the paper today. It is absolutely revealing everything that's going on, and I would suggest that it also is exposing some of these teachings, even by very sincere people like Sarah Young, that are not of him. And one very graphic example in her book, Sarah Young quotes Jesus as saying that, I am with you always. These were the last words I spoke before I ascended into heaven. And the reference is given Matthew 28:20. And anybody that knows their scripture knows that these were not the last words of Jesus Christ. They were in Acts 1:7-9. And I've documented that carefully. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He does not contradict himself. That alone should really make people think twice. When the statement in Matthew was on a mount in Galilee, the last words before he ascended into heaven, and Acts 1:7-9 is very clear on that, was on the Mount of Olives. So we have these things where Jesus is saying, I am above all and in all. He's flattering. He's contradicting. There are just so many things that are going on here that are extra-biblical, being inspired by a New Age book. There's mockery. There's an attempt to have people visualize. Sarah Young visualized God putting a protective light around her family. Visualization is another New Age technique. It's exposed in the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs. It's very distressing to see how pervasive this book is, and it also has a lot of the New Age terminology that is taking people into the new way of creating a new future.
Yeah.
So I've done the best I could to document this. It's not something I enjoy doing, by the way. This was not a fun thing to do. I take no pleasure in doing this. I sort of joked with you guys before we went on the air, and I said, sometimes I just wish I was a musician. I go to
it would
these
be a lot easier.
Conferences, and we get these wonderful musicians playing and singing praise to the Lord, but you know, in my own way, I'm trying to defend the faith and to contend for the faith by pointing out some of these things. And I hope that people that maybe are even taking offense from what I'm saying will carefully consider, you know, the points that I've made. And I also hope that they will sincerely pray and ask God, you know, is it possible that I'm being deceived? And I really believe if they ask sincerely from their heart, they will get, you know, a true answer.
If you're just tuning in, Warren Smith is our guest today. He's been out with us before, and we're asking which Jesus is speaking. We're doing a little story here about the Jesus Calling books. Warren's written a book called Another Jesus Calling, How False Christs Are Entering the Church Through Contemplative Prayer. And when we come back, did Abraham become guilty of idolatry and sun worship? Well, the Jesus of Jesus Calling says yes. Warren's going to explain when we come back.
If you want to go to the Word of God, because things are getting dicey and very, very confusing out there. So Warren, Abraham, the patriarch of Judaism, the Christianity, a man who Paul says it was, you know, credited as faith to Abraham. Well, apparently the New Agers look at Abraham a little different than you and I do.
Well, let's not even talk about the New Agers. Let's talk about what Sarah Young's Jesus said. I'm quoting, "Remember the extreme measures I used with Abraham and Isaac. I took Isaac to the very point of death to free Abraham from son, S-O-N, worship. Both Abraham and Isaac suffered terribly because of the father's undisciplined emotions. I detest idolatry even in the form of parental love." I'm sorry, that is not at all the Abraham of the Bible. And this is all of a sudden becoming a disciplinary act rather than a foreshadowing, you know, of our Lord's sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. The thing that is really, really confusing to people that are reading different versions of Sarah Young's book, when we were doing the editing for my book, Lighthouse Trails called me and said, "Warren, we have a problem. All the wording, or a lot of the wording that is written about Abraham and Isaac, in our edition, it's about Jacob and Joseph." And I said, "Well, I don't understand. What happened is there was almost like a cutting and pasting of paragraphs. I think half of the one on Jacob and Joseph were the same words that were used in Abraham and Isaac. And it started off by saying, entrust your loved ones to me, release them into my protective care. They are much safer with me than in your clinging hands. If you let a loved one become an idol in your heart, you endanger that one as well as yourself. Joseph suffered terribly." Well, in the other version, it said that Abraham suffered terribly. They both detested idolatry in the form of parental love. This is very, very confusing to readers who have different versions of the book, besides the fact that just neither one of them is true. So Lighthouse Trails actually called the editor, Sarah Young's editor, at Thomas Nelson and said, "Excuse me, but we're reading different versions here. A lot of the words are the same. Can you tell us which one's correct?" And the answer was, "They're both correct. We use them both." And this is on the, if anybody has the book, it's August 23rd. Some may have Jacob and Joseph, some may have Abraham and Isaac. But the idea is there's this extra-biblical information that suddenly we're dealing with problems that Abraham had with Isaac. It hits to the heart of who Abraham is and what he did. And this kind of thing was also seen in the night of Jesus' birth. The Jesus of Jesus Calling said this, "Try to imagine what I gave up when I came into this world as a baby. I set aside my glory so that I could identify with mankind. I accepted the limitations of infancy under the most appalling conditions, a filthy stable. That was a dark night for me." Well, my wife suggested that it was a dark night for somebody else, and that somebody else would be Satan. This idea that the stable was filthy and it was a dark night for him is all extra-biblical information. And, you know, one of the things that I put in my book was in Luke 2:11-20, it says that the shepherds glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and that would be including the visitation to the stable. A stable is a stable, but this is going a little bit much to say it was a dark night, appalling conditions, filthy stable. This is new information that's not in the Bible, and it undercuts and takes aim at, away in the manger, or a little town of Bethlehem. You know, the hymns that we, or the Christmas carols that we sing, you know, it's just like there's an attempt here to undermine the Word of God. And, again, I think Sarah Young, if she can realize that not only are there contradictions with the Bible, there's mockery, there are things that tie right in with the New Age. If she was to realize this, like we did when we were in the New Age, she could really help the church a lot. She could just say, "You know what? I made a big mistake. I was listening to another Jesus." And she would read carefully to everybody 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Mike, Amy, so many people are taking this Jesus Calling to heart as if it's the real Jesus Christ, and it's not. I'm sorry to say that there's just too many conflicting things here. Truth mixed with error, and there is a lot of truth in her book, for sure. Truth mixed with error, Dr. Harry Ironside, former pastor of Moody Bible Church, He said it's the most insidious form of deception when untruth is mixed with truth.
Boy, and it sure makes us feel good when we hear these flattering things, these, to hear Jesus' voice and imagine that, he could speak to me outside of Scripture. Oh, what a mess. And my heart breaks for people. And you know what? Many people listening today might have been comforted by this book. We'd love to hear from you. If you would like to call us on anything that you're hearing in this program today, please do. 1-800-979-9010. You can also email comments@standupforthetruth.com. But if you do this in the next 20 minutes, this is your chance to ask Warren Smith about his research. And I do have one question for you, Warren, about this sounds really familiar to me. I know that especially in a lot of women's conferences, a lot of seminars, date things in churches, we're hearing something called the listening prayer. And this sounds almost the same thing as what we're reading about in Jesus Calling, where you go into a contemplative prayer practice, holding on to your pen and your notepad, expecting to hear a voice. And there's a way to do it in a methodology. Is this the same thing?
Yeah, there was a Passion Conference with John Piper, Beth Moore, Louis Giglio, and Francis Chan, and they read from the Bible, and then they had everybody stop and listen to see what Jesus would tell them. No warnings about seducing spirits. Contemplative prayer is really a bogus term. We use the word contemplation and even contemplative prayer a lot in the New Age. There's biblical meditation where you meditate on God's word, you know, on his testimonies, on his works. It's an active biblical meditation. Contemplative prayer is a bogus term. It's a smokescreen that takes you away from biblical meditation. It pretends to be biblical meditation, but it really becomes more of a technique where you recite scripture and then somehow God is going to just reward you with his voice. Certainly Jesus can talk. He can do anything he wants. All things are possible. So that doesn't mean that he can't do it, but to think that he's going to do it on demand because we are wanting him to do it, it's not the way that the Lord operates, and this is the way so much false information came into us in the New Age, from seducing spirits, pretending to be Jesus, pretending to be God, angels, loved ones that have passed on. We now have a pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, Steve Berger, who's saying that his deceased son is communicating with him and his church. The book is endorsed by Greg Laurie of Calvary Chapel. It's also endorsed by Chuck Missler. We are having all sorts of ways that there is a new flood of information coming in from the heavens, from Jesus, from God, and we're forgetting that everything we need to know is right in the Bible, and everything that I was involved in is exposed in the Bible. Everything that we need to know to stand on the Word of God is in the Bible. And I think people need to be very careful that they're not going into spiritual experience wanting a word from God rather than the word of God.
You know, the Bible tells us in Jude to contend for the faith that was once delivered for all to the saints. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. It is his holy breathed-out word. And by the way, folks, if you would like to hear Warren's testimony about his life in the New Age and how he came out of it, we've got several interviews, several podcasts that we've done. The entire testimony, it is powerful. We'll put those on our website at standupforthetruth.com.
Hey, Jim came to our Facebook and said, regarding our current conversation with Warren, please include your thoughts on presentation by people like Jordan Maxwell. If you're not familiar with Jordan Maxwell, he is, I don't quite know how to explain Jordan Maxwell. He says the Bible is basically some pretty good writings, and if you want to call the God of the Bible that cosmic force, if you will, that's fine with you. Are you familiar at all with Jordan Maxwell?
I'm familiar with that type of teaching, and it's an attempt to diminish the fact that the Word of God is there for all of us, and that it is absolutely like a Geiger counter exposing the very things that we're talking about. What's really sad, I was in a telephone store maybe about a month ago, and everybody was kind of laughing, and I went over and I said, what's going on? They said, listen to this guy, and he told the story of how he'd gone to his bank. And he'd gone to the ATM machine and taken out some cash. Then he went in to make a payment in the same bank. And they told him, I'm sorry, we can't take your money. It's counterfeit. he said, well, wait a second, I just got the money from your ATM machine. And they ran the film, and sure enough, he had gotten the money from, this is what's happening in the church. Mm-hmm. People are getting counterfeits from within the church. The only way that we can determine what's counterfeit is the Word of God. And I'm not talking about the message by Eugene Peterson. I'm not talking about the voice, this new emergent Bible that's come out from people like Leonard Sweet and Brian McLaren and others. We have to know that God cared so much about us that he gave us his authoritative word to measure all of these things. The Bereans took whatever I'm saying, whatever you're saying, Mike, whatever Sarah Young is saying, and they measured it by the word of God, Acts 17:11. And Paul commended them for being willing to do this. And I just would challenge people out there that maybe are offended by this program that love Jesus calling, take a deeper look. Look at the things. I really tried to outline everything using Scripture. More than anything, pray. Whenever you're hearing something coming supposedly extra-biblically from Jesus, you better pray and ask, Lord, is this really you? But the first way you determine it is by measuring it by the Word of God. And unfortunately, Jesus' calling falls short in so many ways. The thing that really troubled me was the underlining mockery that was sort of weaved throughout the book. There was another one where the Jesus of Jesus' calling said that the world is too much with you, my child. Your mind leaps from problem to problem, tangling your thoughts in anxious knots. When you think like that, you leave me out of your worldview and your mind becomes darkened. I just happen to remember when I read The World is Too Much With You, when I was in college, in my English class, William Wordsworth has a poem called The World is Too Much With Us, and he's a metaphysical pre-emergent poet. And at the very end of that poem, The World is Too Much With Us, he says, great God, I'd rather be a pagan suckled in a creed outworn, so might I, standing on this pleasant lee, have glimpses that would make me less forlorn, have sight of Proteus rising from the sea, and hear old Triton blow his wreathed horn. This is pure metaphysics. The fact that the Jesus of Jesus calling would use a line from that poem is just a further, it's kind of like, rest with me by the wayside, the road less traveled, go out on a limb with me. There's a weaving of blasphemy, heresy, flattery, mockery, and it's all done in a really kind of pleasant way because so many people really like this book. One woman who we interviewed really loved this book. She had suffered from postpartum depression. A friend had given her the book, and she said that immediately she felt really good reading the book. And I know that from the New Age. A lot of times we would read a book or do something, and there's a spiritual thrust that makes you feel good about what you're doing. But she said that after a while, she realized that she was reading her Bible less, and she was...
Quote from Warren on our website over the weekend that says this, and this is what Warren said, so many people who have been raised in today's church have been similarly deceived into believing that the be still verse from Psalm 46:10 is actually God's heavenly instruction for us to enter into solitude and silence so we can hear his voice. Ironically, Warren says the real meaning of this verse has nothing to do with sitting in silence. Warren, can you explain what you mean about that?
Well, in reality, God's rebuking the nations of the world and telling them to be still and know that he is God. And undiscerning church leaders have misappropriated Psalm 46:10 to justify contemplative prayer. To make my point, when we used to meditate in the New Age, I remember being at an Edgar Cayce conference, and we started off our meditation by saying, be still and know that I am God. Mm. I am God. In the Course of Miracles, right before the introduction by the false Christ saying that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey, Psalm 46:10 is introduced. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said this, let his enemies be still and threaten no more. This is about Psalm 46:10. But know it to their terror that he is God, one infinitely above them. He will be exalted among the heathen and not merely among his own people. He will be exalted in the earth and not merely in the church. Yet the Jesus of Jesus calling says, the world has changed enormously since I first gave the command to be still and know that I am God. However, this timeless truth is essential for the well-being of your soul. As dew refreshes grass and flowers during the stillness of the night, so my presence revitalizes you as you sit quietly with me. Sorry, that's not what that psalm is saying. And then Sarah Young says, a life-changing verse has been, be still and know that I am God. Alternate readings for be still are relax, let go, cease striving. This idea of being passive and letting this presence soak into you is the most dangerous thing. I've got a book called The Light That Was Dark. And Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in thee be not darkness. People are soaking in a spirit that is not of God. And I just pray that people will wake up and realize that our Christian leaders need to make this information more available to people to warn. Prophecy is being diminished. Mike, we were talking about that earlier. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, said that Jesus said essentially that prophecy is none of our business. Brian McLaren says essentially the same thing, and this is riddled throughout the New Age. We're going to change the future, says the New Age. We don't have to have the future that's in Matthew 24. In Revelation 1, it's prophecy. We have some very tough times coming, and the world is being told and the church is being told that we have an alternative. And these other voices like Jesus calling are coming in to make people feel good about things that are not good.
So true. It's so important we understand the Bible in its proper spiritual context. Hey, Warren, a couple minutes left. I'm going to throw a firecrack at you here. Jamie came in and said, question for you, Warren. Where's the discernment on part of Christian publishers that they sell books such as Sarah Young's into the evangelical marketplace?
Well, I think what's happened is that these books are so greatly popular. I mean, Sarah Young has many other books besides Jesus Calling, and right now I think we mentioned there's 9 million sold, 26 languages. There are 200,000 apps that have been sold. Just on a whim, I went to Christian book distributors when I was up in Canada earlier this year, and I plugged in A Course in Miracles, and bingo, it came up. You can buy The Course in Miracles from Christian book distributors. I even called them, and I said, I don't want to do an article or, you know, embarrass you, but I gave them a list. Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson's still on there, A Course in Miracles. And they knocked a few of them off, but at least as of last weekend, you could still get The Course in Miracles from Christian book distributors. Unbelievable. And if you want to, you can get the audio of The Course in Miracles read by John Boy Walton. That's how things are going.
You can't even trust John Boy anymore, I tell you.
Yeah, you can't trust John Boy.
Hey, Warren, we so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, getting up early this morning. Links to Warren's books and his information can be found at standupforthetruth.com. Look forward to talking to you again real soon, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Warren.
Good to be with you. Thank you very much.
God bless
Thank
you. So,
you.
Amy, we just need...